From WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio Boston, this is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. We start this week with some myth-busting, or maybe some bubble-bursting. Japanese scientists announced this past week that they had discovered bacteria that naturally digest the PET plastic used to make many water bottles. And if that's not enough, they actually genetically modified the bacteria to make them better at breaking down plastic. Headlines made it seem like our plastic pollution woes were over. The world produces more than 40 million metric tons of PET plastic every year, and here in the U.S., less than a third of that gets recycled. At the same time, the amount of plastic floating around in the ocean is growing. So could these bacteria help? Joining me now to cut through the hype is Ramni Narayan. He is a university distinguished professor in chemical engineering and materials science at Michigan State University, and the breakdown of plastic is his specialty. Ramni, welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Thank you.
What does it actually mean in chemical terms to metabolize or break down plastic? What do you end up with in the end?
So plastics are generally molecules which are very long. Think of it as beads linked together to form a long chain, which we call a polymer. And it is this long chain molecule which gives properties to the plastic. And the processing of this is also very easy, it's low cost, and hence the widespread use of plastic polymer molecules.
So when you break it down, is it just like ripping that necklace apart and you still end up with those beads, those individual, I guess you would say, chemical plastic molecules? Or are you breaking it down further into things like carbon dioxide and water?
So it would be wonderful, wouldn't it, to just take a scissor and cut it up into small pieces so that you can collect whatever you want. Unfortunately, chemistry doesn't work that way. And so we need to design or use reagents, or in this case, enzymes or microbes, to break it down into its original constituents. More importantly, when we are talking about the pollution or the collection of these molecules in the environment, the question is, can microorganisms present in that environment, soil or wherever, can utilize the plastic as food and thereby removing the plastic from the environmental compartment in a safe and efficacious manner?
That's what we're talking about in this case. It seems that this bacterium that Japanese scientists have found does actually break down, does use this PET plastic as a form of food. Are these the only bacteria like that? I know other scientists have been looking in other environments for bacteria like that. How many might be able to break down plastic?
So PET belongs to the water bottle, which everybody is very familiar with. So these belong to a class called esters, which have oxygen in their backbone. Remember the long polymer chain we talked about? So we have oxygen in that chain. And the question comes up is, can enzymes or microorganisms break it down like water could, for example? So this paper, both the Japanese research and the current one, talks about developing and have actually studied and developed technology, identified microorganisms that are capable of breaking down these polymer chains. The latest one talked about genetically modifying the enzymes or the organism to speed up the process. That's what is being proposed. The issue is not in the science. This is published in very prestigious journals like Science, in the case of the Japanese paper. In the case of the latest one, it was published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. So clearly, the research which was done is unquestionably good. What this misses is the fact that somehow it is implied that the technology to break down this PET plastic and similar plastics is the bottleneck in managing PET waste, and that this new enzyme approach is the breakthrough we have all been waiting for and needed. So that is where the disconnect and the extrapolation and exaggerated claims cause problems.
You know, we often hear that these plastics will be around in the environment for hundreds of years or longer because they just don't break down. But you actually said, like water would, that these bacteria or these enzymes break down the plastic like water would. Does that mean that these plastics would actually naturally break down on their own?
So there are different classes of polymers, right? Polymers in which that long polymer chain is linked by carbon-carbon linkages, like many have heard the word polyethylene plastic or polypropylene plastics, they are much more difficult to break down, as opposed to another class of polymers, which we call polyesters, which has got an oxygen in the backbone along with another functional group. So the latter class, the polyester class, can be broken down very readily using, we use water, there are other reagents which can be used. We can break it down in 30 minutes or less. The issue is the temperature and the process by which you break it down and the rate at which this will break down. So yes, these plastics will slowly disintegrate and break down, but it depends on the environment and the time. It could be 5 years, it could be 20 years, it could be 30 years. And in that time frame where it is in the environment, it is impacting the ecosystem. It can be colonized by microorganisms. It can and be transported as food up the food chain. It could also be collecting toxins which are diluted in the soil, as has been reported, and like a sponge, pick up more toxins. So leaving these plastics without a responsible end of life is problematic, and that's what all the issue is about.
So if ways to break down the plastic are not, as you said, the bottleneck in our plastic pollution problem, what is the bottleneck? Where should we be focusing more attention?
So the problem is not about the availability of viable and cost-effective technologies to transform, recycle PET. The problem is in the collection of these plastics from the waste stream, you know, recovering it from the waste stream. We need better waste management infrastructures.
I take your point that, right, what we need to be focusing on is making sure that the plastic doesn't get into the environment in the first place, and we don't necessarily need new or better ways to put plastic into a vat of enzymes to break it down. But the reality is there's a lot of plastic already in the environment. I don't think that most people would say we should be taking these bacteria and dumping them into an ocean environment, right? Introducing them to an environment. But I wonder if the discovery that these bacteria exist, that there are some bacteria naturally occurring that can break down plastic, if there's at least a little bit of reason for hope or optimism there, that there are some natural mechanisms to break down plastic, that maybe the plastic pollution problem isn't as overwhelming and insurmountable as we've thought before. There may be processes out there that we didn't know about before that will help take care of this problem.
No, absolutely. The science of finding out what do these plastics do in the environment, you know, what kinds of enzymes can interact with it is important. Microorganisms are ubiquitous. I mean, they are hardy. They came to this world long before we were, and they are going to be there long after we go. So clearly, they're not going to starve. they're definitely going to find ways and means to survive and therefore mutate and have the ability to extract energy from molecules. But I would hazard to state that if you're going to wait around till the microorganisms figure out a way to break this down, then probably won't happen soon enough, at least not in my lifetime and probably not in my children's lifetime.
Ramani Narayan is a university distinguished professor in chemical engineering and materials science at Michigan State University. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.